Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
Hello, everyone. This is Evan Borgo, better known as King Baby Duck from the Boston Bastard Brigade. I know that once in a while our podcast show delves into politics with its usual humorous twist that we like to bring to our opinions. However, once in a great while there comes an issue that I cannot even joke about, but I still need to voice my thoughts on. As a lot of people know, there will be an article posted in the Rolling Stone about the Boston Marathon bomber, talking about his past and his turn to evil. Now, this is not the issue I have, as I do enjoy a lot of Rolling Stone's pieces that dive deep into the mind of a criminal. The problem I have is the fact that they plant this kid on the cover of the magazine, looking like he's some Tiger Beat teeny bopper for kids to emulate. It's disrespectful to the families, the victims, the city of Boston, and everyone else that has been affected by this tragedy. When I saw this cover, I felt sick and disgusted by Rolling Stone's decision. I am going to tell you all something, and it's the only time I will be discussing it. Both of my parents were at the Boston Marathon that year and were 10 feet away from the first explosion. Both are healing, but the emotional damage they received will take more time to recover from. I've also yet to watch the footage of the explosion, and I have no intention whatsoever to view it. The reason why I haven't talked about any of this was because I didn't want the wrong kind of attention to come to the Boston Bash Brigade. Although I am very happy with the love and support everyone in Ash and in the gaming and music industry have given me and my family, I know that it just takes one asshole to ruin it all. In order to keep the idiots from trolling about, my solution to the matter was to just never talk about it. I also kind of wanted to keep the situation private until a proper time and place to truly talk about it. I almost mentioned it when we did our live video show in April, but deep down, I wasn't ready to fully discuss what had happened. Now, going back into the rant, the fact that Rolling Stone had thought that this was a good idea to begin with has shown me how ass-backwards their editorial department has been regarding this matter. I can just picture Hunter S. Thompson rolling in his grave because of all this, had his ashes not been shot out of a cannon by Johnny Depp. It goes against the magazine's well-known integrity and could prove to be the periodical's downfall if they are not careful. And already they're facing backlash because of it. Stores refuse to sell the issue. Bands like Disturbed and Dropkick Murphys are barring the magazine from ever talking to them again. Sponsors are dropping off. And even the People's Mayor, Tom Nino, has written to the editor saying how horrible of an idea it is. Not to mention how big of a slap in the face it is to every single Bostonian that they put him on the cover. Most importantly, the putting of this asshole on the cover in that state he's in is a total glorification of terrorism. Having him on there in that rock star pose will make others try to repeat what he and his dead brother have done in future attacks. It's probably too late now. There are probably people already plotting something because they are hoping to be on the cover of Rolling Stone, which was once an honor for bands and people of the entertainment industry to be featured on. Even I dreamed of being on there for the work Luanik and I have done on the site on podcasts. Hell, I even wanted to work for them at one point. But at this moment of time, not anymore. I know that a lot of people believe that the magazine should have had the four victims who have died in the attacks on the cover, and I kind of disagree about that. I feel that it would do the families of the victims more harm than good to feature them on there. Instead, a simple silhouette of a runner, or something related to the incident that will promote hope instead of fear and sadness. Pull a New Yorker. They do an awesome job with creating covers for these sorts of events. Now, I am a subscriber to Rolling Stone, and I do expect to see this issue land on my doorstep. I support the various businesses that refuse to sell it, the bands who will be boycotting the magazine from here on out, and the voices of the victims who have spoken out against this decision. Again, this is the only time I will be talking about this on the podcast show, but I am more than happy to answer any questions about this tragedy via our email or Twitter. Otherwise, I will not discuss it any further. On that note, let's turn the seriousness down a bit and get this show on the road. Welcome to the Boston Bastard Brigade.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 188. Zombies love product placement.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
And I'm Blumonic.
DJing right here, playing with my little Newmarked iDJ Live right there, just doing a little spinny, spinny, spinny roof sort of thing.
I'm having fun.
But we are still in the midst of a heat wave here in the North Shore area.
And probably by the time you hear this, it will be over.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. There's supposed to be big, loud, thunderous booms and rain and lots of stuff in the atmosphere that will cool us down, supposedly.
Yes, and people will be thunderstruck!
Yeah, that too.
I mean, I was out walking the other day because I had to take the bus to get to work, and it was 100 degrees out. So, lovely. Yeah, that's hot as balls, my friends. Hot as balls.
Yes, as the English would put it.
But fortunately, we have discovered, or rather found, one of our anti-heat wave little concoctions here. One of my favorite things from childhood, the Snoopy Snow Cone Machine!
Yes, snow cone. And it has all the parts. Well, except for the pusher slash syrup bottle. And
No, that's a Snoopy thing.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's the thing on the top.
Yeah.
Okay, I did. Oh, okay, apparently it holds syrup in it. Is that what it does?
Yep, you can put syrup in it, or if you want to do various flavors, you can do like Kool-Aid and other things as well.
Ah. I can think of a couple of alcoholic things I could do with that.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Make it more of a 21-plus affair right there.
Diggity-diggity. Ages 4 and up? That includes us.
Yep, it sure does. And if you worry about Snoopy, about filling him with alcohol, well, in dog years, he'd be, what, 200 right now?
Way past that.
Yeah. So it's okay. I think we got an okay lineup for you right now, and I figured we would jump into talking about a film that it has been out for, like, what, over a month right now?
Yeah, that's why we got stuck in the small theater, which, that doesn't make any sense because we got stuck in the small theater for Superman. I don't get it.
They just know that we're coming, so it's like, all right, let's put them in this small theater.
All right, let's just put it this way. If you are in our area, we go to the AMC at Liberty Tree, and I feel like if you go to have to sit in Theater 6, I feel like that's where movies go to die. So more or less, if they've been out for a little bit or whatever, they just go there. Yeah. Or otherwise, they just feel like, oh, well, we got all these other movies came out, so we got to push it over there in the corner. So they put Baby in a corner, and that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. But since this movie's been out for over a month right now, may I suggest that we don't give a crap about spoilers? We can just talk about it as much as we want about it, because it's been out. I figured if you haven't seen it yet, you probably...
We'll wait until it comes out on on-demand DVD or Netflix.
Yes.
Most likely. Mm-hmm. So, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
And if you don't want to listen to this, too bad.
Yeah.
We're going to force you.
Yes, we are going to tie you down and put like those like eye versions for your ears, like what they do in A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, that's where you're going with that. Yeah, you're gonna go S&M, but okay, just make it short.
No, it's not that kind of a kinky sort of film.
Yeah, it's not Shades.
No, it's not. Oh yeah, I thought you were referencing 50 Shades of Grey, but you mean Shades the person?
No, Shades Black Flame. Yeah.
Yes. So, World War Z, inspired by the book by Max Brooks, who is the son of famed comedy legend Mel Brooks.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe all that comedy from when he was younger didn't, you know, prove to help him, made him pissed off, and he had to make this book.
Well, the thing is, with the original World War Z, and it's like the zombie survival guide that he wrote beforehand, like, these are more... They were initially short stories. So, I don't know if they... What they did was they took one of the short stories from the original World War Z film... Or World War Z book, and just expanded it into this one massive film.
Yeah, they could have very well done that. I mean, in this movie, they at least went through, like, the actual full aspect of it, like, what they were trying to do with the movie, instead of how, like, you know, like...
Well, drop you right in the middle of it.
28 days later, we'll, you know, just drop you kind of in the middle of it, and you won't know what's going on, or why, you know, really, I mean, Rage Infect the Monkeys, that's kind of, you know... You gotta acknowledge where it came from in the first place to make that monkey raged. So but, this one was going from after the, it, you know, it did kind of drop you in the middle of it, but what it was is, it was like trying to find patient zero, so.
Yeah.
So trying to find that one.
And that's the thing, they couldn't find it. They really couldn't find out what the origin of this zombie outbreak was. They didn't really... They weren't able to touch on that. I don't know if it's because it was a lost cause or perhaps something in the scripting problem and scripting aspect was like, what do we do? How did we figure out where did it come from? Where did it go? And
well, apparently we got a memo over here in Korea, and then we got an email over here in India, and somebody mentioned zombies. So I do like the part about how they went to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem finally figured out the matter of it is there's the 10 people, and 9 out of the 10 people, if they think, you know, that's not possible, the 10th person has to automatically disagree, and he had to be the 10th person to disagree and build the wall.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, the celebrations of the people that were coming in were dumb.
Yes.
Of the fact that
it's like, hey, I have an idea. Let's make lots of loud noise in celebration. Yeah, that won't get the attention of the zombies.
Nope, not at all. Brilliant.
And it's very interesting because it brings to mind a little bit of this animated series that I've been watching called Attack on Titan, where there are these big giants that are, like, eating humanity and such, so they have to build a wall... And then a wall, and then another wall to keep them out and save humanity.
Yeah.
Well, sooner or later, Titans figure out how to get through the wall and fuck everything up for everybody.
Yep, that's basically how it is.
Yep. Now, what's this game you are showing me right here? Is this somewhat what you're going for with the World War Z like analogy?
Yeah, this is Plague Inc., and my cousin Tig introduced it to me a while back. And I was just thinking, oh, the bastard might have copied it or something like that to make it into a movie. But it doesn't deal with zombies so much. What you're doing is you're the one trying to figure out what to do with the plague, and I mean that you're the plague. You're the you're the thing that causes people to get infected, and you're trying to kill the whole world.
Yeah, there's another game out there too that I play called Infectatron.
Yeah.
Or Infectinator, where you basically you try to create a zombie apocalypse from one small spot, and then you try to expand it across the world.
Yeah, that's basically what it does, is it gives you kind of a world map, and then you basically try to figure out where would be the best place to start it, which is usually a hot, sticky climate, you know. What are you doing?
Trying to shut it off.
The hot, sticky climate is probably the best place to start, but what yeah. it is that's where they were kind of going with the movie, where it was kind of like, you know, along
the hotter it was, the more there were.
Yeah, but also you gotta, you know, it's gotta take into play that, you know, the characters have to, you know, well, I mean, the actual disease or plague or whatever you want to call it is actually going to, you know, stay alive. And then what it does is you have to make sure it's strong enough so it hops onto planes or it hops onto boats, it hops onto this, and then it goes all over the place.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, it felt like that because of the fact of how fast, you know, the
infection spread.
The infection spread in the movie. It was, they were like, damn, we lost Boston. Damn, we lost this. We lost that.
Well, this country is
DC's gone.
President's dead. So are a lot of the people of Chamber of Commerce.
And the VP's MIA. Yay. Oh, man, if that was the time George Bush and Cheney and everybody would have been celebrating. George Bush is dead?
Yay! But he's now a dumb zombie. What's the difference?
So, apparently, Brad Pitt's character is supposed to be a guy who did very well on investigations under the United Nations or UN.
Yes.
So, and it was kind of interesting because of the fact of how they had to bring him into the actual role of, you know, force him to be the guy that has to figure it all out.
Yeah, there's like, basically, if you don't do this, we're going to kick you and your family off of this boat, and then you're going to be eaten by zombies. Now, do you want that, Mr. Brad Pitt?
Where was it they said they were going to get dropped off? Philadelphia or something?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Here you go. Just, good luck. There's a snowball's chance in hell.
Basically.
But the way that they designed the zombies around this one is they were apt to, you know, sense movement, and they just, as soon as people freaked out, they were going after stuff.
Which also kind of reminded me of the creatures from The Last of Us, because the creatures, the mushroom heads, the clickers, as they are sometimes called, you can sneak past them quietly, but as soon as you make one little sound...
Or a fart.
Yep, they just swarm you.
Yeah, now, the concept that they're trying to do is they're not necessarily trying to find a cure in this movie. Which kind of was... I was feeling like...
Well, initially, that's what they were trying to do.
Well,
but
yeah, but I mean, like, that's the problem. They basically figured out that it's going to, quote-unquote, camouflage them. So, it's a camouflage to the aspect of all the zombies won't acknowledge that the people that are humans and all this other stuff because of the fact that the pathogen or whatnot will want to go into a healthier body. So if it can find a healthy body, then it's going to attack that to try to keep the pathogen alive.
Yeah.
So that's basically what it is. But yet it still kills its, you know, host and puts it into another state.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense to me.
When they got to the end of the film, they said, this isn't the end, this is only part of the beginning.
Hmm.
But it's...
Which leads us to believe that it might be expanded to a second movie or something.
Right, maybe taking one of the other short stories from the book and turning that into a full-length film.
Now,
somehow connecting this one as well.
The only problem I'd have to say with this is I don't think Brad Pitt would be signed on for the second part, but I think what they'd do is they'd try to bring in another... probably a B-type actor or something like that that's not so high up in there, and then they'll come out and it'll go straight to DVD.
You think so?
That's the only thing is I've been noticing this pattern lately with movies that you think are really, really good, and the second movie comes out and it goes to B. It's like...
kind of like what happened with Death Race.
Exactly. Death Race did it. A bunch of other movies are basically doing that too now.
So Never Back Down did it.
Yeah, I mean, Undisputed, that went from, like, a full-fledged, awesome freaking movie, and then they, like, after 10 years, they were like, okay, let's go and, you know, put Michael J. White in it with, you know, all these other people, and let's see how it goes, and then they made a third movie after that with the other character, because everybody loved that character, so, yeah, it's just kind of sad when, like, the good movies doesn't and can't extend to a second movie, but somebody will go, oh, I could go and do that and make some money off of it at, like, you know, the $2 rack in Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Or they can try what they were initially going to do with Zombieland, turn that into a TV series with new characters, but I read that the pilot wasn't picked up for that, so...
Bollocks.
Yeah.
Well, at least you can look forward to the what's his name?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agent Coulson?
Yeah. Coulson is back.
Yeah,
if you haven't figured that out, he's back.
They showed the premiere of that at Comic-Con this past weekend. I heard a lot of good things about it.
Well, better keep going, because I think it's one of those things that if we want to keep stuff going on the outside of the Marvel world,
mm-hmm.
that's TV series related, that, you know, hopefully won't die in a season.
Yep.
That might be our only chance, really, because
I think is good about it is it's going to tie in with all the movies. So if there's a movie that's about to come out, there will be some episodes that are going to tie in with that film, and so forth and so forth.
Yeah, probably have to watch that episode in order to understand what the hell's going on in the movie.
Possibly, but that's not a bad thing. I mean, that gets you immersed into the Marvel universe.
Yeah,
I mean, with doing something like this, who knows? I mean, we could probably see finally see Wolverine joining the Avengers and Spider-Man joining the Avengers and all these other people, too.
Yeah. But anyways, back to the actual movie. What did you feel about Brad Pitt acting in this movie?
Yeah, Brad Pitt is Brad Pitt. I mean, you know he's not the type of actor who is going to half-ass it. I mean, he does a good job in just about anything he's been in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since... I want to say 7.
What about Fight Club? I thought Fight Club was older than 7.
Nope, Fight Club was 99. 7 was 1994.
Okay. Well then, anyways.
I feel like since he's done that film, he's always given 100% in his roles. That being said, I mean, this type of movie could have called for anybody, honestly. But I just figured they got Brad Pitt because he's the S-list actor.
They wanted to get him away from Angelina Jolie for a little bit.
And all them kids!
Yeah, all them kids. He would need to pretend that he had an actual regular wife and 2 kids of his own. And a little adopted kid named Tom.
You know, it's funny because I was reading an interview with him and how he's jealous of Matt Damon because Matt Damon's able to take his kid to school and stay incognito, whereas everywhere he goes, wherever
Brad Pitt gets mauled like a bunch of zombies like they did in the movie.
Yeah, basically. And the reason why is because Matt Damon didn't marry a celebrity. He married someone who was an average person.
Yeah.
Whereas when Brad Pitt and Bradgelina happened, there are cameras everywhere. I can't escape it.
You need literally to wear goggles that have the reflective lenses in order to get anywhere because you literally can't go anywhere without getting flashed by the paparazzi.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, besides the ending where he did his walkthrough, as I would say, he walked through the movie, basically, at the end.
And did a little product placement there.
Yeah, he did some serious product placement. Wait, well, actually, there was Belize Air, too. There was, was it Belize, or was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was,
The fact that he goes and grabs a Pepsi, goes...
Yummy.
And then just, yummy, and then just goes... And all the cans fall down, and all the zombies go, ah, Pepsi!
Yeah.
Pepsi! Fuck Coke!
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty funny on that aspect.
But for a rating for this film, you know, it was pretty cool. Different twist on zombies, but where can you really go with a zombie film these days?
I mean...
Everything's been done, from Zombieland to Fido to World War Z to... Warm Bodies.
Land of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. I think we've just about done every single zombie movie possible.
I don't know. I think we're going to be eating our words within another year or something like that. Somebody will be like, hey, look, I came up with a new zombie. And they've got, you know, rifles or something like that that come out of their ass and kills everybody. It's like, what?
How about zombies from outer space?
I thought that was already done.
You know what? It could have... Dead Space.
Well, no, not... Well, sort of, but I mean in the sense that it was done back in, like, the 50s or 60s or something like that, where they had, like, the crappy, like, you know, horror flicks that...
Oh, no! It's an undead person!
Oh, my God, he's attacking me. He's touching me. Oh, no.
That plane is flying in the sky, and it's being connected to an invisible wire that's not supposed to be there.
Oh, look, it's crashing. Bam. That's how god-awful it was. At least now there some actors that have pulses that actually are able to act now and do the proper thing. But, yeah, I mean, this movie was altogether, if I can rate it right now, out of 5, I'd give it a 4.6. I mean, it was good, but, I mean, it's yet again, it's like there's still stuff. Because of the fact, I mean, even making fun of, there was a thing on Facebook that somebody said about, you know, oh, World War Z was just like, you know, that stole from whatever friggin' franchise or something like that. They stated about the whole aspect that the zombies were the same, like they were eating people and this and that. And it's like, well, that's what zombies do. They eat people. They go for their brains usually, but in this case, they weren't like, brains. It was, I bite you to pass on the pathogen.
Yes.
You know, that's basically what it was. They didn't do it with like 28 days or 28 weeks later, where there was a person that was able to get bit and they were able to contract it, but they weren't turned as a zombie. So there wasn't anything like that. What it is in this movie was the aspect of trying to find a way to get around the zombies so you can get to a safe zone and then try to figure out what to do to take care of them. So the aspect was, oh, let's infect ourselves, even though they didn't say what they infected themselves with. I don't
know.
Did you not notice?
No, they didn't.
I couldn't even see what the bottle read.
No.
There was a good box of stuff to, you know, shoot up with, and there was the bad box to shoot up with.
It's like, he shoots himself up with the stuff on the left side, he's mad about it.
Of course, everybody forgot to mention that. Oh yeah, if you make it there, the number is such and such. And then the other thing is don't use this cabinet on the left. At least if we got there, we would have been like, oh, do I use the stuff in the cabinet on the left or the right? Ah, crap.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah,
he just injects himself with everything.
Until he turns around and finds one right behind him, basically, but on a glass case. So he tried to... He was the test dummy, basically, so he tested it out on himself and was able to walk by the zombies.
Yep. Because I'm Brad Pitt, I can do anything I want.
Yep, exactly. I don't care. Tell my family I love them.
Well, I feel better right now, actually.
I'm sit here for a second. And piss out. And then wake back up. And then, oh, find the zombie still there. And walk up to him. And I would have bitch slapped him. I would have bitch slapped the zombie and be like, ha ha ha. Can't do anything.
He's just going to walk past him. Walk, I'm going to tap dance.
I'm sorry, but I still would have kept the crowbar with me. I'm just saying, I would have kept the crowbar with me. So anyways,
I think I can rate it to about a 4.5 for me.
Yeah.
A 0.1 shy of your score. But yeah, it's a great movie. If you haven't seen it yet, I'm sorry for spoiling everything.
Talk to you.
But you should still check it out.
Yeah, watch it to see it from your point of view. I mean, we have our own taste in everything, but we want to make sure that you enjoy it as well. Mm-hmm. So sit back, watch the movie, and watch in the dark. It's not as scary as you think.
Well, you said you jumped around.
I jumped at one point. That was it. I haven't jumped in a movie for a while because usually it's always somebody else jumping and going, ah, shut up. I'm trying to watch a movie, god damn it. Remember, the things are on the screen. They can't jump out and hurt you.
Yet, we still don't have that technology for films.
Yeah, no.
If we can do 5D,
yep.
5 dimensions, where we could have actors actually come out from behind the curtain and start, like, interacting with the character.
Well, I thought that was already done with Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No. That's audience participation. I mean more of, like, if you ever went to Disney World and you went and saw the Muppet Vision 3D, there's like a part where Sweetums will actually come out from the screen and walk around and start talking with the audience and such.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Alright. Next.
Okay, so one other film that I got to see, sadly, Blahnik has not yet been able to check it out, so I will keep the spoilers to a bare minimum.
You whore.
Pacific Rim from Guillermo del Toro, better known as the director of the Hellboy series and Pan's Labyrinth. And you have Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy, Riko Kikuchi, who you might know from Babel, Idris Elba from Luther, Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Ron Perlman from Hellboy and also Sons of Anarchy.
Yep.
So the film, as a lot of people know, deals with monsters known as kaiju. They are rising from the seas because of some sort of portal gateway, and the world comes together to create these giant robots to defeat them called Jaegers. And Jaeger, J-A-E-G-E-R, I believe it's German for hunter.
Jaeger.
I say Jaeger because, again, I gotta go back to the show Attack on Titan, because the main character on that show, his name is Eren Jaeger.
Hmm.
And his task is to try and kill all the giants that are in the show.
So, is this a step forward to maybe making a live-action version of, like, Gundam Wings or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
God damn it.
This is a step in the right direction.
No, I say it's wrong direction. Keep the movie the way it is and don't give them a Gundam movie. I don't like it. Don't. It's
you
just
don't,
not worth it.
You can't deal with emo kids piling robots?
Nope, not so much.
So the Jaegers are piloted by two people at the same time, and they share, right, like, a brain wave.
Yeah, explain that to me. Because of the fact that I'm just trying to figure out what the main reason for that. Would it be like doing a dual-core processor on a computer or something
like
that? Is that
it's so that by linking their memories together, their two brains basically become one when they're piloting with the Jaeger.
Okay, so then with the Jaeger and stuff like that, that goes on to the aspect of, are they capable of doing more? Because one will take care of the legs, one will take care of the head, or do they move in unison?
They move in unison.
Okay.
And that brings a little bit of issue with the main character played by Charlie Hunnam, Riley Beckett, because he and his brother were fighting a kaiju, and while their brains were still synced together, his brother gets ripped out of the Jaeger by the kaiju, and because of that, Beckett will forever have his brother's memories in his brain.
Wow. Well, that sucks.
So now he's got, like, both.
So he can remember him getting ripped out and killed.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Basically. So he's convinced by this general, Pentecost, who's played by Elba, and he returns to piloting the Jaeger that he initially was using, called the Gypsy Darling. And he's paired up with Mako, played by Riko Kikuchi, who is not only a genius, but she's a badass motherfucker with a black belt of sorts.
Ah, okay. Anyway, so, now, just to stop you there.
Okay.
The stuff that I'm getting from the actual commercial and stuff like that with Ron Perlman, is he like a, kind of like a bookie or something like that? He feels like he's a bookie or something like that, because he was trying to find out information so that people could watch it, and he probably bet on it, right?
Nope.
No?
So what his character does is he takes all the parts from the kaiju monster and tries to sell them as like herbal remedies.
What? So
he's like an illegal black market of sorts. So, yes, kaiju horn gives you a big boner of sorts.
Great, so he's more or less just, oh man, what a bastard.
But he's funny. He's good in this film.
Well, isn't what's his name from Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yep, Charlie Day. So there's a bit of a side story where Dr. Geisler, who Day plays, and his partner, Dr. Hermann Gottlieb, and I believe the actor's name is Bern Gorman, they discover a way to brain link the same way with humans. Well, they brain link with one of a kaiju brain just to see what's going on, where they're coming from really, and why they are attacking them. But unfortunately, when Dr. Geisler brain links to a kaiju brain, that somehow sends a signal out to the kaiju that tells him where the hell the guy is.
Oh, great.
So he
basically caused a, you know, them to come there and kill him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That seems kind of straightforward.
So now what they have to do is they got to try to find a way to use their knowledge that they've discovered through this kaiju brain.
So, but they were able to figure it out.
Yes.
Okay.
But and I want to.
It's not for oil, right?
What?
It's not for oil.
Right? Oh no, no, it's not for oil. It's not a political movie.
Okay, just making sure. Making sure.
The whole world comes together to try to kill the monsters. Of course, it's not going to be about oil.
Well, I mean, it could be a lot of, you know, because of the fact that they were like, oh, we had to go and put our money together and make these big, giant robots to kill these big, giant aliens that came from the ocean.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if people have ever seen a lot of Del Toro's films, they know that he goes into a lot of details with his characters and monster creations, and this movie is no exception. Like, the way the CGI looks in this film is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And the creatures that they create there, I mean, the way that they move, I mean, and I say this in a good way, but they still move in such a way that they still look like they're, you know, dudes in rubber suits beating each other up, but it actually looks more like creatures itself.
Ah, okay. So it's not the old Godzilla.
Even yeah.
All of that, I heard something about a new Godzilla movie
coming out. There's a new Godzilla movie coming out next year.
God damn it.
Don't worry, what's his name, the guy who did Independence Day, is not doing it.
Hopefully, whoever is doing this one doesn't screw it up.
We'll have to see.
And doesn't make him look like a giant lizard.
But Godzilla is a giant fucking lizard!
Well, no, that's the thing. It's just like, I'm an iguana, like, you know,
his
head, not like a lizard, you know.
No, they're saying that this one's going to look more and more like the original Godzilla, but with better CGI.
With a rounded head?
Yeah. But I felt like this movie did a great job with the action sequences. For those people who are expecting to see action from start to finish, they're going to be disappointed. I would say about 50 minutes is spent on actual
fights. Long is the movie?
2 hours and 7 minutes.
How long did the fight scenes go, and how much of a percentage of the movie was their fight scene?
Well, let's see. If I were to say, like, 40-50 minutes of it was action sequences. Such a... like,
2 hours? Holy crap. But it's spread out, correct?
But yeah, but it's spread out.
Okay. Just make it truer.
And it does it in a good way. Like, and it's not one of those films that's going to, like, bore you and make you look at your watch. And it's like, what are they going to start doing during the fight? No, they're telling you important information.
My concept is as long as it doesn't do the Star Wars Phantom Menace on us, where it's like, oh my god, this is going to be the most epic battle of... Oh, wait, it's already over. I couldn't even mention the epic battle-ness. Or even how long this thing was possibly going to go on for. It was... dead. Okay, he's split in two, and he's down a hole. Big, giant, freaking hole.
Yep. But nope, nothing like that.
Good.
I mean, I would say the average fight sequence went on for like 10 minutes.
Okay. Alright, so rate it, and let's move on to the game.
Okay. I'll give it a 4.8 out of 5. This is the type of action film with giant robots and giant monsters that I feel like we have been deserving to have. Without someone like Michael Bay coming around and just, like...
blowing things up randomly and sticking Megan Fox everywhere he can possibly stick her.
And raping our childhood at the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Go see it. Especially the IMAX. You need to see the IMAX, because then you get the full immersion of it.
You have to fork out the cash in order to enjoy it more.
Yeah.
Alright, so on to the game aspect of it that popped up here. For Xbox, for me, Xbox. Did it pop up?
Yeah, it just PS3? Only. Nope, just Xbox.
Yeah, okay. And so it was Xbox Live download.
It was developed by Hughes, who did all the UFC Undisputed titles, the WWE titles, and the actually subpar Real Steel video game as well.
Yeah, that was a subpar. That was the thing. I was trying to figure out. I was like, why does this movement feel almost like how the Real Steel game was? Because I actually bought that for my nephew to play. Have I seen him play it lately? No.
Nope.
Of course not.
Let me guess. He's playing the games he's not supposed to be playing.
Yeah, like Grand Theft Auto 4.
Okay, because that did capture my head. Awesome.
So more or less, yeah, we
gotta basically, you know, lock my games up, which I don't want to do anymore, but that's just me. I just get so tired of it.
Lock it up behind a glass case.
Do you got the money for the glass case? Because I don't have any money for glass case. Or do I have to go on Craigslist to get the glass case and make sure it has a key?
You might have to do Craigslist.
God damn it.
So
broke.
Okay, so Pacific Rim, the video game, it's developed by them, and the demo only gave you the tutorial
and then the multiplayer, which was basically the same freaking thing.
Yeah, and just the object of it is just to punch the kaiju till it's dead.
Well, exactly. You gotta punch it until it dies, and then the other thing is you gotta also, what do you call it? You gotta make sure you pop out the big sword arms or something like that he has, just so he can actually do some more damage. I felt this was hideous. I felt the game was garbage.
Oh my god, it was atrocious.
I mean, this was like playing Mortal Kombat where you couldn't jump, but also the other thing was it was energy-based. So I know that the big robot is run by energy and whatnot, and you have to wait for it to charge back up. But if you have to wait like 5 freaking minutes to get the whole freaking charge up, just to do a couple of little movements and do a couple of little things, which mainly they don't land half the time because...
By the time you're all powered up, the kaiju moves away from it.
Or otherwise already has molested you.
Yes. I mean, this is one of those games where I figured the Kinect would have been perfect for. I mean, considering how in the movie, the way that they pilot it is by using their own actual movement. If they could have done that in the Pacific Rim video game, used the Kinect for it, it probably would have been a much better title. But no, they couldn't be authentic to the film. It's just another stupid button masher that just is so sluggish.
Especially when you get knocked over, you have to button mash.
Yeah. Oh my god, that part was just such a pain in the ass.
Yeah. So, ugh. I mean, we could spend a couple more minutes on this, but it would just not be worth the our time and the listeners' time, because it just, I would feel so bad just to go and put you through that. So, more or less, I'm going to rate this sucker as a 0.1.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Because my score has a negative sign in it.
Oh, you have a negative zero?
I have a negative zero.
Fantastic.
I mean, way to take an amazing film and just take a giant poop all over it.
Yep.
And then there's one other movie-based game that has come out.
That just popped up on that same aspect.
RIPD, which we didn't go and see.
Yeah, we were going to, but I had to do some manipulation and stuff like that because of other constraints. Anyways, I could probably say that with things going on, you know, from other reviewers and other people and stuff like that, I thought I've heard some good stuff. Have you?
About the movie RIPD?
Yeah.
I've actually heard nothing but bad things, which saddens me.
Oh.
I've actually read zero scores across the board for the film.
Yeah, but, I mean, I thought I was hearing some good stuff about it at one point. Oh, yikes.
What?
IMDb's already got it at 5.5. Yowzer.
Which is a 2.5 of sorts.
Yeah, so that's one of those things that I was worried about in that movie because of the fact that I felt it was too close to Men in Black. Mm-hmm. In a dead sense. But,
yeah,
Men in Black in the sense that they were trying to, you know, they have to go around and try to kill...
Aliens.
No, well, that's in Men in Black, but in this one they have to kill...
Dead souls that are evil.
Dead souls that are evil. Stealing gold, because that's what was explained in the actual video game aspect. I don't know if that was it, but
yeah,
possibly.
Mm-hmm. They mentioned that in a review I was reading in the Boston Globe about that.
Yeah.
I mean, why is it... And here's the weird thing, too, about the movie RPD. The guy who directed that was the guy who directed Red.
Yeah.
And he left the production of Red 2 to direct this, and meanwhile I'm hearing great things about Red 2, while RAPD is just a band of poop stain.
You know, my boss actually asked me, he's like, well, what movie has Ryan Reynolds done lately that has been good? You know, like...
Ted?
Okay, besides that... Besides playing the gay guy that liked to beat up on what's his name. Exactly
Patrick Warburton.
Like, what movie? I mean, look at, we have, all right, just to go down the list here. I mean, I know he's doing Deadpool. That's 2016. Holy crap, that's a friggin' distance away. Yeah. All right, so he's doing Turbo right now, which will probably, the kids will win over on the kids' aspect.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really count. I'm talking to him on a basis.
That's a good yet again, question.
Crude. He's done voice acting for Family Guy. He did Ted, yeah. Like we said. Safe House was another movie with
Denzel Washington.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was almost like subpar yet again. It was like he walked through the movie. You know, he didn't do like, I mean, it was
was subpar. I felt Safe House had a great script, and Denzel Washington was really good in the film.
Then there's the Change Up. There's the Green Lantern, which was poop on a stick. Buried, that was, I saw that movie, and it was kind of depressing because of the fact that nothing actually happened. X-Men's Origin Wolverine. I mean, that's the only problem is we saw it beforehand when it got, like, displayed, you know, and was leaked out and stuff like that. So when we saw everything, we saw how bad it was.
Yeah, we saw how bad the graphics were. And
how much rope stuff he had to do.
And here's the sad thing, too, is when they showed the final product, the claws of Wolverine.
Yeah, they looked god-awful.
Yeah, which I'm happy that they fixed in the new Wolverine movie, which is opening up next week.
There was a movie called Paper Man. I think I remember him in there. He was Captain Excellent. Then there was The Proposal. That was probably another bad one.
Well, it had Sandra Bullock in it.
That of course, it was bad. Anyways, Adventureland, Chaos Theory. I remember watching Chaos Theory. It was okay, but I think it was a psychological aspect. So if some... No, wait, my fault. Nines. The Nines was the one I was talking about.
And I've seen Adventureland. Adventureland is pretty good. It's one of the few films that Kristen Stewart actually does a good job in.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. All right, yeah, Nines was when he played, like, this guy that had multi-personality. And then there was a movie called Just Friends that he did. Waiting? I mean, Waiting wasn't still yet... I mean, it's comedy for us. Like, I would say it was a cult following afterwards. Yeah. It wasn't like when the movie came out in theaters, everybody had to go and see it.
Yeah, it had its small cult following. And that's another movie that had a sequel that went direct to DVD.
Amityville Horror.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Blade Trinity. I can give Blade Trinity, even though yet again that was, I felt that it was a really great movie. I loved it. I liked the movie.
It still wasn't as strong as the first two.
Yet again, yeah, it wasn't strong. And of course, he came through and he was just doing the basic, you know, Van Wilder.
Right, Van Wilder. And remember when he was in the sitcom Two Guys Going on a Pizza Place?
Yeah. So more or less, I could keep going down on that. I mean, there hasn't been anything that I can really say here that.
That Ryan Reynolds has done an amazing job in. I don't think there's been a film. I don't think there's ever been a sentence where Ryan Reynolds and amazing have been together. Honestly,
I don't know. Has he won any awards?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So that shows how good of an actor he is because of the fact nobody can take him in any serious because of how he, you know, how he acts.
Yeah. They should have gotten Colin Farrell, maybe.
Bollocks. I mean, Jeff Bridges is. I like him, too. He's a great actor. It's Jeff Bridges, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but he's acting like that other actor that I'm thinking of.
What's it? No, he's trying to act like True Grit, right?
No. What's that actor's name from, like, Up in the Air and...
Up in the Air?
He was in Big Lebowski. He was the narrator.
Oh, dude?
No, not the dude.
Oh.
Let me just double, triple, quadruple check.
All right, well, just to get to the...
Sam Elliott.
Okay, fine, Sam.
Sam Elliott. That's the actor I'm thinking of.
All right, so to more or less put it this way, the game isn't really a game. It's multiplayer. So if you have Xbox Live, you'll be able to play it, more or less. I would suggest that hopefully you can find somebody to play with right next to you, because if the person that's online playing with you, they're probably just joining on, just trying to figure out how to play the game. Mm-hmm. Next to that, they're probably not going to help you at all. Like, the person that I was playing with didn't help me at
even
all.
Though you brought them back to life.
I brought them back to life a couple times, and they didn't get over to me. They just got basically zombie hoarded by all the evil spirits.
Yeah, that's the thing too. It feels like when I was playing the game, it felt like you were getting overrun very easily by the opposing side.
Yeah, and then also the other thing was is it didn't really show you what to do. You just kind of push buttons and figured it out.
Yep, that's another issue I had with it too.
I had to figure out that I had like a little sentry gun at one point because of the fact that if you kill a bunch of them in a row, then you could switch through, well, at the top there's a meter or something like that in order for you to earn stuff, but once you basically cook that one, that's the only one that you use,
mm-hmm.
and you have to kill a bunch of more of them just to get some more of that. I mean, I didn't have a hard time staying alive, but once in a while there would just be the overrun, and I just get overrun. It happens.
Yeah.
Yet again, it felt like this game was subpar. I like shooters. I love shooters, but this is one of those ones where it's almost third person, but also kind of goes to first person when you go down to the sight rail. Not mm-hmm. really sight rail, but like a circle in the middle of the screen.
You still see your character's like ear or something, but it's one of those. I had to stop playing it like 5 minutes in because I just hated the whole experience altogether.
I forced myself to play through all 4 or 5 levels that were given because it's not levels, it's basically stages of,
yeah.
You know, it's almost like playing the latest Gears of War. It was like that one, like the downloadable one that you could pay for or something like that. Remember when we downloaded that one and how god awful we were talking about how it didn't work so well, it didn't move just like the actual game because of the fact they probably didn't have enough memory to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a good reason. That was one of those things where it felt like it didn't have the proper moves to it. And I just don't feel that the game would have any replay quality that, you know, other games would be. I mean, hell, like, look at the Batman game that, you know, we downloaded and stuff like that. The one where the
Gotham City Imposters.
Yeah. Though that one. Have you played that lately?
No, I haven't.
Exactly. Some of these Xbox Live games, as good
that
as... Online exclusive, yeah. They kind of die off. I mean,
you know why? Because they're playing, this is boring, I'm going back to Call of Duty.
Yeah.
That's basically what's happening. They're going back to Call of Duty or Battlefield.
Yeah, that's just one of those things where I think our minds just get to the point where we're just too lazy on the gaming aspect and it's too hard to pick up a new game.
I don't think that's what it...
I feel that.
You feel that way?
I feel that way because of the fact that I feel that a lot of us, I mean, including myself, are getting dumber because of these video games. I mean, to do the repetitiveness of the video games and whatnot, just tucker us out. We just, you know...
We're afraid of a challenge, maybe.
More or less.
I mean, that's how I feel when I'm playing this game called Hotline Miami, which is an old-school-looking sort of game. You have an 8-bit sort of vibe, but it's very bloody, it's very gory, and it's incredibly challenging. And I'm having such a hard time getting past a specific level, but I have a feeling that if I were to hypothetically play this game when I was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, back when games were incredibly challenging...
Yeah.
I would probably have gotten through this level no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've gotten to the point where I'll keep playing that level. It's kind of like Candy Crush. It's like you're addicted to it and you're friggin' stupid and you keep going at it. And it's the concept of, you know, insanity, you know, or what's sane or whatnot. And it's just keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting the right outcome to happen, but it doesn't happen. Believe me, it wears on your psyche, it makes you feel awful. I'm almost going to be quitting Candy Crush now because of how bad it's treating me, but I'm just saying that...
You should just stop playing it like what I did.
Yeah, but quitting that cold turkey is so hard.
That's what I'm saying, you gotta look up a game called Scurvy Scallywaggers. It's kind of similar to Candy Crush, but it's not, you know, it doesn't, like, tell you, oh... It doesn't force you to do anything.
Now, the question I have is that exclusive on the Apple?
I think it might be available for your Droid.
All right, type it in, bitch.
Okay.
All right, so the aspect that I have to say about this game, I don't want to give it an A0 because I gave it the time that it was, you know, needed and whatnot. So I'll give it at least a 1.8 out of 5. It's sad, but I mean, more or less, that's basically what I could give this game to.
It's not on here yet.
See, I fucking knew it. See, that's the problem. You know, some of the games that are on Android aren't on, you know, the iPhone. And games that are on iPhone, unless they're completely popular, they won't cross over.
Yeah.
It's too much money for them. It's poor bastards in a garage.
But yeah, I'm also giving the RIPD my -0 score, which continues on with proof of my theory that if you're going to make a video game based off of a movie, it's going to suck.
Yeah. I mean, yet again, my exception for it is like the Hulk video game. That's not even with the aspect of what was going on in the movie. I mean, I feel like you could run around and do whatever the hell you wanted because it was free, open world.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd jump into whatever things and then the
New York City futuristic
guys would come after and you'd kill them and then you'd go off and get points or then you could break buildings and piss everybody off and do whatever the hell you wanted to.
Right.
That was beautiful with that game. Iron Man was a kind of a different story. That was like, fly around, dink off stuff, and try to figure out how to fly the guy.
No. Right. And then you have Ghostbusters, the actual Ghostbusters game with all the actual cast members.
Yeah, not the one that was from above you, right?
No. Which was a great video game. I mean, the one that wasn't above you, the one with the actual Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd reprising their characters and everybody else, because it gave you the third. It was like basically playing the third movie.
All right, well, we can cut that off. How about that recent news that you passed on to me about the whole Batman Beyond thing?
Okay, so that really just, like, came out of nowhere for me as well.
Told you they were going to be trying to do something like that.
And
it would be dumb not to.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently somebody was saying that it was kicking around on the desk, and this might have happened before the whole Christopher Nolan one.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't. They decided to go with actually the Christopher Nolan script because it was a little bit stronger. But hopefully with the years of it being kicked around, it's been kicked around to the point where it's made it stronger.
Yeah. Yep, they're saying that a couple sources say that the film is back on the table and that it would have nothing to do with the Nolan Batman universe, which is now done for good.
Yeah, it's going to be a totally different thing. It's probably going to be more towards like what's his name's universe there?
Michael Keaton?
Yeah, the Michael Keaton version.
I think would be awesome as Bruce Wayne in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, just throw some, you know, old gray hair on him and a cane or something like that because of the fact that how Bruce Wayne was establishing that, like, he was he had more wisdom, he had all this other stuff, and now he's trying to take his wisdom and shove it in this, like, you know, 17-year-old kid's head and trying to get him to do everything, you know, to live the split life of taking care of what needs to be taken care of in Gotham, but also have a normal life.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not normal.
Yeah. Now, my question is, how do you think they should create the costume of sorts of this new Batman? Would it be more? Can you honestly say that?
Yeah, the black one.
You picture this being done well, live action?
Possibly. I mean, that's the thing with green screen nowadays. It's like they can do whatever the hell they want. I mean, most of those.
But then again, that's what they try to do with fucking Green Lantern.
Well, take the Green Lantern for instance. You know, when he got the mask on there, it looked like the mask was actually on him. You know, that was pretty cool with the whole aspect. I mean, it could have been an actual mask. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't record it. But if you take in a factor of, like, how the guys from Iron Man have been able to take these guys, you know, in just regular clothing and make them look like they were, you know, in the full armor and stuff like that, we've gotten really good with the leaps and bounds aspect of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So for a character to run around with maybe a couple points or something like that on him and the dark suit that follows him, as long as it doesn't look like the stupid, you know, the shadow, you know, kind of aspect, like how they did back in with one of the Baldwins there. Alec Baldwin, I think. They could probably get away with it. I feel like they could probably do it because of the fact that the suit is supposed to be like a nano-type suit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be a futuristic aspect. And I think I could see that going in the right way to make that character look awesome.
Okay.
But, again, I don't know who the hell could play him.
Right. Because Terry McGinnis, you're going to have to try to find someone that's, you know, around his age of sorts.
I want to say anywhere from the age of 16 to 25. Somewhere around there. Because I feel like those are the only, that would be the perfect age range for him.
Mm-hmm.
But yet again, you gotta watch out for the aspect of the like spurts of growth and stuff like that, because it's like all of a sudden the kid would be like, "Oh yeah, blah blah blah," and then all of a sudden, no, well, "Hi, how you doing?" To "Hi, how you doing?" Yeah. "Whoa, what the hell happened to your voice?" My testicles dropped. So yeah,
which is what happened when they filmed the first Harry Potter movie, because his voice changed during the production of the first film.
"Hi, how you doing?" "Ah, you're like 12." But, I mean, all puberty aside, it's just, it's one of those things you gotta, you know, I would say at least 18 to 20, probably, in that aspect, because they should be already done.
Yeah.
Besides, you know, men up to 21 can change, but that's it.
So let me ask you this. Who do you think would do an amazing job directing Batman Beyond?
Shit, I don't know. I really couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you because of the fact that Christopher Nolan did such a great job with that. I would say that would be one of my default suggestions. But the fact that of the matter is he's already worked on that. He's going to make it too realistic.
Yeah.
But
we need someone who's done stuff in a futuristic aspect.
Who was the director for Minority Report? Find me out that one.
That was Steven Spielberg.
Fuck. Damn it. Damn you, Steven Spielberg.
Okay, this might be a little bit crazy idea, because I know his films haven't been always great, but from an action standpoint and a futuristic standpoint, I think he could probably pull it off. Paul W.S. Anderson, who did a great job with the film. I know it wasn't scripted well, but action-wise, Ultraviolet.
Okay, all right, I see who you're talking about now. That would be an interesting choice. Yeah, I would have to say
it'd be an interesting choice, but if you got the script right, he could do it.
Yes.
I wouldn't trust him with writing the script. I would probably trust someone who actually worked on the cartoon to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at remember the movie Return of the Joker?
Yeah, I remember that one very well, and that would be actually a very cool one to do. Like, I mean, to actually turn it into a live action, or at least have it a part of it, because of the fact that, you know, the Joker apparently died at some point or other.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to come back through, of all people, Robin.
Yeah.
An older version of Robin just all of a sudden comes back and he just turns into the Joker, so.
And shit, you could probably have Burt Ward come in, who played Robin in the original Batman TV series.
You could have Adam West be Batman if you wanted to, even though he's batshit crazy, so yeah.
Well, no, that's just the Family Guy version.
No, he's batshit crazy.
Okay, what about having Mark Hamill then coming in as the Joker? Just having him play it one more time.
He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. But also, the other thing is if you've seen him recently, have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yes. I know he's kind of got the...
He's got the chubby. He's gotten really chubby. He's supposed to be in the next Star Wars Part 2, and I'm just like, what?
There's a little thing called weight loss, dude. He can probably do that.
Dude, I have issues with my weight loss. I don't know how the hell he's going to be able to do that. He's probably heavier than I am, and I'm a heavy dude. Yeah, I mean, the only other thing that I have to say is what's his name who did the Michael Keaton?
Tim Burton.
Yeah, but that's the thing. What has he done lately besides all these cartoon-type things for the kiddies that are still demented?
Frankenweenie
was like the last one that he's done, really, right? Right?
Right. Alice in Wonderland.
Okay, that too, but yet again, it was another...
Sweeney Todd.
Yet again, it was another freaky type movie and stuff like that. He has stepped away from Batman and all together and stuff like that. But I think he would be the one who would be able to create the background setting of the new digital, like, you know, setup of a futuristic.
So kind of like what he did with like Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Planet of the Apes or Ed Wood or Mars Attacks.
Stuff like that. So, I mean, to be able to do that and whatnot and, you know, make it his own. I would feel like he would still be good to come back and do it as that. But yet again, that won't happen. I don't think he would be like, screw it, I'm already working on something else.
So long as Joel Schumacher doesn't come anywhere near Batman Beyond, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to say here. Any other director would do better. Fuck, even Uwe Boll would do probably better.
I was actually going to say that. I was going to say, hey, Ubo could do it. No, the night shift, the day, dark night shift and day shift. Who was the guy who did
day watch, day watch, night watch?
Yeah.
The guy who did Abraham Lincoln Vampire
Hunter.
Yeah,
that guy.
Yeah, Russian name. The Russian.
The Russian? All right, get him to do it.
Yeah. Either that or even say, what's his name? The guy who directed District 9 and he's now doing Elysium.
Dude, get Charlotte Copley and get into it. I mean, I know he's going to be in Elysium and stuff like that. Do you know that?
Who?
Charlotte Copley?
Charlotte Copley?
God damn it. You know, the main character in District 9.
Oh, right.
You know, him?
Yeah.
Okay. He's in Elysium. He's Kruger. He's that bearded guy with the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's him.
All right, so how about he then plays like an older version of Commissioner Gordon?
Yeah, that would be probably right. Yeah, I could see that.
Or even his son. But yeah, what we're trying to say here now is that you need to do Batman Beyond right, because as fans of the cartoon, it's something that we deserve. They've been doing a great job with the Superman series now. They did an amazing job with the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah, so DC's going to try to fight back against Marvel with this whole them losing money.
Yeah.
Especially with all the bad stuff that they've done since Tim Burton in the Batman series. It's just gone awful.
Yeah. So let's just cross our fingers and hope that when this movie gets off the ground, starts going into production, it doesn't turn into a major shitstorm.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, forking it.
All right, so on that note, let us end this podcast show. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bass Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, and requests for things for us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards at bostonbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Blonick is under Blonick. And we are also on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com.
Money! Yeah, we're also on facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade. So you can go on there, like us, love us, and message us.
And what's our YouTube page?
It's on me! YouTube/Electric Sisterhood?
That is correct.
Yay, I got it right. So more or less, if you type in Electric Sisterhood, you can also watch the videos on there. And see what the hell we've said about other stuff in the past.
Yeah, hopefully we'll try to do more videos in the future, especially more of the live ones, once we figure out a good day.
We're working on it.
Yeah. So next week, it's going to be coming around that time when we start chatting about the first half in video gaming of 2013, like what we've been doing in a couple of years past. And we're supposed to have some pretty cool guests joining us on the show via Skype from halfway around the world.
Would it be Australia?
Nope.
Norway?
Think more Middle Eastern.
Iraqis?
A little bit more north, I would say.
Russians? Bosnians? No.
Nope.
Serbians? I don't know.
Think more of like Abu Dhabi and that area.
Israel? I don't know. I give up.
UAE?
I don't
United
know.
Arab...
Nope, I don't know. Sorry.
Anyway, hopefully these friends of ours will be on our show next week and we'll chat about the first half of 2013 in gaming.
Okay.
So, on that note, let's cut, print, and send it to the editor. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
And Blowwater.
Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure... Gah!
Hold on. Wait, hold on. Okay, but it sure
helps.
There we go. I had it.